goes for it. Sean Mackey, the strike!
It's Calvin Miller against McGowan. Miller sends it in!
It's Miller time, baby! Champions again! Falkirk have broken through the glass ceiling! After 15 years in the wilderness, Falkirk Football Club has once again a Premiership club!
This is Falkirk Daft.
With Behind the Wall, we're navy blue, are you?
So I wonder if John McGlynn sat down last night with a nice Chianti and some lava beans and went... Because he silenced the lambs as the Dons were once again put to the sword by the Bairns of Falkirk. Hello, welcome to Falkirk Daft, your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast. I am Sean McNally, as ever, joined by the Ginger God Pod himself. It is Ross Wayne, everyone.
Good evening, sir. Yes, it's been a really, really good weekend for Falkirk fans. And Happy New Year, obviously, to everyone as well.
Oh yeah, sorry, I should have really started off the podcast as Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everyone.
But no, it's been a good weekend, and it's just a shame the vast... Well, I was going to say not everyone, because there's a lot of people work through the festive period, but for an awful lot of people going back to work tomorrow.
Have you got that whole, like, going back to school kind of vibe in your house? Because it just feels that way, you know. It feels alien to me not to have a drink in my hand at this point.
Yeah, because you need to watch yourself tomorrow, don't you? So I know that's the thing. I did think about it actually. I was thinking, do I have one last beer?
I've not bothered.
Oh, but yeah. I'm sure Richard will when he comes on as guest.
No, pundit. He's doing Dry January. Our guest pundit this week, Richard Lindsay, who's been on the podcast before. Yeah, he's doing a Dry January, so he wasn't even drinking yesterday. And you weren't either. Ross, were in 1876 Lounge, and you were. My car died. I mean, this is just what you need. It's got basically, I need to get my car through in another 5 months. It's a 10-year-old Kia Ceed. Basically, it's got to get through to May, because then we are moving into the city centre. My work's moving into the city centre and stuff like that. But like, I've got to get it through basically till then, so I can basically, and then just give it up. But it's decided to die today with 160,000 miles on the clock. Pushing start, but I think it's something to do with the cold. Like, I'm not a great car guy. I tried to jump start. I went for a Hail Mary and tried to jump start it, but it didn't work. So, any advice? Please put it in the comments below. But I think it might be a spark bug change, but we'll wait and see. Ross, luckily your brother-in-law is a mechanic and a very good one at that. Shout out to Gary. If you're ever looking for anything sorted with your car around the Falkirk area, Gary is your man. So I'm going to message him tomorrow to see if he can come around to the house and resurrect the thing. I only need to get it through 5 months. It's MOTs up in May, and then we can say goodbye to the lovely. It's served us well. So, but aye, fingers crossed, they can get it through to me.
So yeah, so I came and picked you up yesterday, didn't I?
So, yeah,
so you didn't
drink
a couple of beers.
That was the whole point of that story. but aye, so yeah, fingers crossed and get that to the year. But it was good in 1876 Lounge. If you haven't been before, but you know, feel free to pop in. It's a good laugh. A couple of dandies in there yesterday as well. We bumped into Sheepy, who's done the Aberdeen podcast for us previously. Bumped into him. He was in with Karen, who's contributed to the podcast as well, in the Brockville Lounge yesterday as well. But it was good in the old 1876 Lounge yesterday. Crawford Baptie was here, and it's always a pleasure to speak to Croft himself.
He was lovely, as always. Good stories. And as you pointed out to him yesterday, he was looking a bit like a Bond villain yesterday with his turtleneck on, didn't he?
So we pull neck job. It was nice.
Yeah. But no, he was a great lad. And then... after the game, it was brilliant to catch up with Barney and Connor Allen, and they had some good chat. Obviously, Barney delighted to be back, and we give him a little bit of stick about being disinfected, etc. But listen, he was up for everything as always, and he's such a nice lad.
Yeah, we'll talk about Barney's performance in just a bit when we talk about the match against Aberdeen. But let's first of all trip into birthday corner, shall we, and say happy birthday to Helen Henderson. aka Mr. Crunchy Carrots himself, Scott Henderson's Maw. Our birthday is today, which is the Sunday we're recording this, so happy birthday, Helen. I'm sure Alan spoiled you as well.
I'm sure he will have. Also, happy birthday to the legend that is Scott Steele.
Oh, happy birthday, Steele.
His birthday is this week. It's on the 8th, which I think is Thursday. And so, yeah, massive happy birthday to Scotty. Bit of a Falkirk legend. And I'd be shocked if there's not too many Falkirk fans who don't know who Scott is.
Yeah, happy birthday as well to Paul Cruikshanks, who is... we've not got the age, but he's turning whatever age this Friday, 19th.
21 again.
21 again. We'll always say that.
Shout out to Paul as well, because he does a good turn for us, doesn't he, with the T4th travel buses to away games. Paul is such a good guy, and if you are looking for he's not sponsored the episode, but a shout out to him. If you are looking for a minibus to Falkirk games, get in touch with T4th Travel.
And if you do want to sponsor the episode, Paul, we're open to offers as well.
Absolutely.
So T4th Travel, yeah, give us a shout. Players' birthdays this week. Mark McGraw, who's actually meant to be joining us. If you don't remember, Mark McGraw, he's part of the 97 Cup Final squad. We signed him from Hibs. It was all right. I'd never thought much of him as a striker. But
I'm not sure you can label him all right.
Nah, maybe not. But he's 55 on Monday, so happy birthday. Michael Ruth, who was obviously on loan for us. He can't just be 24, surely, Michael Ruth.
We got him very young.
He did a turn. I think, where is he now? Is he at Queen's Park now, I think? I think he's injured this season, but he certainly did a turn for Dumbarton for a good couple of seasons.
He did, yeah, and he has scored goals where he's went, so fair play to him. Fair play to him.
His birthday on the 8th, on the 9th, Denny Johnston, remember him? God, he's only 31, Jesus. There you go. Conceived in Denny, obviously, as well.
You would assume so.
That's why you call yourself Denny. But Denny Johnston, 31, I wonder if he's still kicking a ball. And Calvin Miller, our one and only, had a great game yesterday, actually, celebrating his birthday, so he's 28 on the 9th as well. And another current squad member, Connor Allen, turns 22. Does that mean he's ineligible for Scotland in their 21s, or can he still get a kick of the ball there?
Well, you would assume it would put him out of the under 21s, but
there's maybe a cut off year for him. But he was in the wedge plunge yesterday. We could have asked him that as well. Murray Wallace, 33. Where's Murray playing these days? It was at Huddersfield.
I think he was Millwall the last I saw. It's weird to think he's 33, because it doesn't feel that long ago that he was like just a teenager.
I think it was like whispers, like that a couple of people just kind of speculating it'd be good to have him back this season. But I think he's had a lot of injury problems, I think, Murray, as well. But great centre half when he was with us as well. And not such a great player, Marcus Haber, January the 11th, turns 37. He was like scoring goals for fun in the Indonesian League or something like that the last time I checked. I don't know why it was Googling Marcus Haber, but I'm sure it was like some mad Indonesian league.
Was he not record goal scorer in that league for a period of time? I think he was, yeah.
I know. So there you go. Happy birthday to all the listeners and all the players, former and present, this week. Bit of club news. Let's go through that. St Mirren Hearts away tickets on sale now at the club shop only. And me and you, Ross, have talked about this. It's paper tickets. Come on, boys and girls. 2025. Why are we still dealing in paper tickets?
I completely agree. Now, don't get me wrong, I think it's nice here if you're going to like a cup final or something.
Yes,
I liked it as a memento. I get that, right? But see, for run of the mill games, I think it's bonkers that we're still having to go and queue up at the stadium or wherever to go and get a paper ticket. Unfortunately for both of these games. And the mad one is with Hearts is they've given us like 3,500 seats. And the other, sorry, just to rant again, both of these clubs sell their home fans' tickets electronically. So why not just let them...
There'll be a reason behind it as well. The allocation for St Mirren, I didn't check the allocation for that, Ross. Is it about 1,900?
It's about 1,400, I think.
Right, okay.
The away end holds. So I think, though, based on the last couple of away games, that those will sell out.
I've never been to St Mirren Stadium. Never been to Smijsor before because I was down south when they just moved into it. So I've never actually been to the Smijsor. So I'm looking forward to the trip to there on Saturday. So that should be a good one. And then I probably am going to miss Hearts, but it's just that nightmare. 8 o'clock on Saturday kickoff time. But yeah, it's so tickets still available for them both games. I think St Mirren might be near sellout now for away.
I would be shocked if it doesn't sell out. So we will comfortably take 1400 through Pacer.
100%, 100%. Liam Henderson was a player of the month for December. I mean, who? I mean, Hendo. If you ever struggling for picking out a player or man of the match, Hendo is just it. Because he's so consistent, you know. Arguably, you know, there's been a lot of standouts this season. You know, you look through the side, Scott Bain, Conor Allen's been excellent, Dylan Tate's been really good, Calvin Miller. You know, there's been a lot of standouts in the side, but Liam Henderson, it's going to take a long way for me, like, for my thinking to beat Liam Henderson again for player of the year because he's just so consistent, he's always a seven.
He has been, or seven or higher, really.
Yeah.
We're obviously chatting to Hendo's dad, with Hendo Senior, yesterday, in the lounge. He was passing through. I'm not sure where he had been or where he was going. He wasn't actually in our lounge, but he was going to or from somewhere, and he was having a bit of a catch up with us as well. He's obviously, as he said, listen, Liam had unfinished business with Falkirk, and that was a huge part of the reason for signing for John McGlynn. And let's remember, it was John McGlynn's first signing as a Falkirk manager. But a huge piece of that, apart from working with the gaffer, was if he did feel as if he had unfinished business at Falkirk. And do you know what? He has more than made his
Absolutely.
mark now as a Falkirk player. Massive.
I think in years to come, you know, when you're picking your Falkirk 11, Hendo's got to come into the conversation for those centre half positions. You know, even in midfield, when he was, you think in League One, he was playing most of that season in midfield. You know, but when you talk about centre half, he's just so composed. And like some of the, you know, yesterday, you know, getting forward, I think it was in the first 5 minutes, nicking the ball, getting into the box, and you know, unlucky with his header and stuff like that. He's just been such an important player, and I am amazed and surprised when you're hearing rumours about Luke Graham getting talked about for Aberdeen as a potential sign. I am amazed. I'm quite happy. There's not been speculation about Hendo's future, but he, you know, you're surprised that there's not a Hibs or a Hearts or an Aberdeen look at Liam Henderson and what he does.
Absolutely. let's hope for our sake that they don't come calling. But I listen, we are no longer an easy target for selling players on. It will take money for someone to be prized from us, especially if they're under contract for a reasonable
I
length of
think
time, which I'm sure
Hendo's
they
got an
are.
R because he just got re-signed a deal in the summer, didn't he? So he's got another 2 years to do
I think
goal.
so, pretty certainly. Either that or it was partway through last season. But yeah, no, I think he's tied up, which is great. Listen, Falkirk, as everyone has a price.
Of course.
But I really want Hendo to be a part of our team for the foreseeable future.
No, absolutely. And you know, he took the captain's armband when Brad went off against Dundee as well. So it was great. That was great to see as well. So I you know, well done on to Liam and his player of the month for December. Cup one centre half we're talking about there, and our centre half on his way out. John McGlynn confirmed yesterday in a kind of interview that Ryan Edwards will not be staying with the club. Listen, it's a shame, but I guess it comes down to money. You know, when you saw Cole Donaldson on the bench yesterday, Lewis Nielsen's not far away, as kind of John spoke about as well. You've got Tom on his way back as well. You've got three centre halves, so you feel sorry for Ryan Edwards because he was always a good option, and he, you know, he proved when he came off the bench for that kind of last 10 minutes and stuff like that as a physical presence. You know, he was always a good option, just an out and out big centre half. But I guess John likes ball playing centre halves, as we've seen in Conor Allen and Liam Henderson, and have done really well there.
He does, John, but I think the biggest thing that you've said there is obviously the number of centre halves that we've got
And you
back.
forget Lisa can go on at centre half as well.
Unless I can play there, let's not forget Keelan Adams has played at centre half as well.
Yeah,
Should
true.
he ever need to? Don't think he'll have to. But listen, yeah, we're more than covered there. So it is a shame because I like you. I really liked what I saw when he came on for the minutes that he's had. But there is absolutely 0 point having players just for the sake of players because all that's going to happen is we're going to end up having about 10 or more players sitting in the stand with their tracksuits on, especially when everyone's fit. Now, granted, you can't second guess an injury because, as we've noticed, you can get an injury at any point. But yeah, from a centre back half percentage perspective, we are more than covered.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And our player away, Trey Samuel Ogunsuwe, away back to Sunderland, away back to his parent club. Whether he's been recalled or we've just went, you know what, let's just shake our hands and say it's not worked out. I don't know what the real story is there, but it didn't really work out for Trey at us.
No, it's not. I've obviously, we've both been a little bit vocal about him. It never ever looked like he was 100% in the loan deal. Now, that's maybe a disservice to him. Maybe he was, but it just never ever looked and felt like he had 100% of Trey. It's maybe just his manner because he's very lackadaisical. Sorry, not lackadaisical. He's very, is it maybe as lackadaisical? He's just a little bit maybe too casual for
I
the
remember
fans.
Paul, I think it was against when he came on, was it against Dundee or something, man? I can't remember, but I've never seen Paul Smith as angry, just shouting at a
No, that was
player.
the mo I'm sure that was that not the
Was that
Motherwell
Motherwell? Was it Motherwell?
evening
Yeah.
game? You're right, I thought Paul was gonna absolutely do him in when he came off, but I think and then he's not really had like a lot of chances to score, but
Yeah.
I think back to that Celtic midweek game. He had an absolute amazing opportunity from the 6 yard line and he fluffed it. And you just think maybe that's the turning point. If he'd scored there, might have given him a bit more confidence. But he just never ever came across as someone who was that interested. But listen, I don't want to do him a disservice because he was maybe a hard
Maybe
worker. I just
like
don't
our
see it.
system, maybe just didn't, because you certainly saw the YouTube highlights when he came to the club and you thought, oh, we've got a player here.
Right.
Certainly, Sunderland supporters talked to him really big as well. But maybe our system just doesn't suit him. You know, he
Maybe not.
strikes me as being a player that plays off the shoulder, and we're not a team that play kind of that way, really, in terms of getting the ball in behind and stuff. So, you know, good luck to Trey and the rest of his career, you know, and, you know, thanks for your time at the club. Really appreciate it. Before we get into talking about Aberdeen, let's say thank you very much to our sponsors. Behind the Wall, of course, Falkirk Daft Venom is still on sale there. There was issues with the straws, which was rectified by Ross on a heavy-handed message to Mr. Flynn at Behind the Wall, saying there's no Falkirk Daft labels on the straws, Brian. Brian sorted it out straight away.
To be fair, he did sort out, and it wasn't my complaint really. I was passing the complaint on from someone, and just yeah, I think they'd bought two or three on a particular evening, and they were like, "Oh, I've not got my straw," and so yeah, that was why I thought, "Oh, well, I'll say to the gaffer." And as you said, within a few hours, it was rectified.
Sorted there. Yeah, the bus to St Mirren tickets are away on sale now. £12.50 return, and obviously you get your pint when you get back to the pub. Some spaces limited to that, and of course the bus down to the Celtic home game. It's £5 return. That's next Wednesday night, isn't it? We play Celtic, isn't it?
Yes,
Yeah.
the
So
14th it is.
that's on sale now as well. So book your place in that if you fancy a couple of midweek drinks, and then get back to the pub, and the same offer applies for that. Burns Night by Trice Theatre's on there on the 23rd of January, and Fleet and Rumours tribute to Fleetwood Mac is on there on the 31st of January. Something to look forward to, you know, people going through the dry January. There's your goal. Just get to the 31st of January, and you can have it off then and go and see Fleetwood Mac's tribute, Fleeting Rumours. Check out all the events at Behind the Wall. .co.uk. Right, let's talk about Aberdeen now and the big game yesterday. And let's do it in the company of a man that's been on the podcast before. It's Richard Lindsay.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good,
Good.
mate, you?
Very
Good.
well, mate. Very well after yesterday.
Yes, we've all got a smile on our face today for good reasons as well. Richard, we might as well kick the arse out of this question. Did you get any Falkirk merch or any Falkirk-based Christmas presents?
I did. I got a couple of books. The history, or a couple of history books. So a lot of reading. Yeah, I think that's about it, to be honest. Yeah.
Is it
Good.
the Michael White specials, is
That
it?
is a Michael White special, yeah. So It might take me until 2027 to read that.
I have read, well, I read the first two volumes back to back, but I've not had the most recent volumes, which is probably obviously more of our era within that as well. So I need to actually see if Michael's got any left.
Some amount of work by him. Fair play,
It's
Michael.
unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Hats off. If you don't know who Michael is, he's a club historian and he is just meticulous with detail. If you read some of the stuff, it's just brilliant. Really, really, really good reading. And good way
Don't
of taking this to the club.
take till 2027 though, because that'll be the 151st
Oh.
anniversary.
Oh, don't get started on that. I said we won't
Don't
get
leave the
started.
chat.
We won't get started on that. Jesus God. We'll,
I'm just there.
yeah, Michael. I don't know if Michael listens to the podcast, but you'll be jumping all over that as well. But we'll wait and see what happens with that. It's a big debate to be had. Anyway, we won't get into it just because we'll be here all night about it. Richard, let's talk about Aberdeen with you. Thanks for coming back on.
No worries.
Obviously, lost to Dundee, three changes to that side. Leon McCann, Dylan Tate, and Barney Stewart all coming back. The returning Barney Stewart straight back into the starting 11. Keelan Adams, Ethan Williams, and Brian Graham all dropping out. What was your reaction to the Barney Stewart going straight in, Richard?
I was happy to see it. You know, he's a bit different for for Brian and obviously Trey at the time. So I was quite happy. Obviously, he's been playing games as well, you know, so he's fit, he's match fit. So I thought that was a good option. And obviously the game, we'll talk about it, but I don't feel like their two centre halves could deal with him at times. So no, I was delighted with that. The other changes, yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a bit weird to drop Dylan last week. I don't know if there was anything there about fitness or that, but I was surprised, especially when last week I thought we'd want to keep the ball a bit better than we did. But I was delighted to see him come back in, and obviously Leon's been unbelievable this year, so really happy with that. I was a wee bit surprised that Finn stayed in, to be honest, after last week. But no, he played really well as well.
I was about to ask that actually to Ross. I mean, you were a big advocate of Finn starting after his performance against Kilmarnock. Did you think he had done enough to deserve a start on Saturday?
So I think when we reviewed the Killer game, we obviously talked about Finn having made a really good impact, because he was playing in the 10 or a bit further forward. He didn't obviously play that position against Dundee, and I think we're all quite happily agree he didn't have a fantastic game against Dundee. However, he obviously did very well against Killie in a bit further forward, and he played yesterday a bit further forward, and I thought he had a far better game than he had obviously done against Dundee. I wasn't massively shocked that he was eventually subbed, because he's obviously not played a lot of football. But we had played a lot of good stuff with Finn there in the first half. I know we're probably jumping a wee bit. We probably had a better first half than we did in the second half, but a lot of the good stuff Finn was included. So no, I was really chuffed for him, and I think the more minutes he gets, the more we'll see him be even more effective.
You know, I'm.
Sorry, John. When I looked at the team, I thought maybe we thought that the Carlson was going to play left side, and I didn't know if maybe he was thinking about playing Finn on the right hand side, and maybe to give Lissa a bit of a help going back the way, because the Carlson boy is obviously a good player. You don't sign for Bologna for £7 million if you're a poor player. So I thought we were maybe going to try something fancy there and try and protect that right hand side. But he played in the 10, and that worked out perfect.
I mean, obviously, Keelan Adams, that's the first time he's really been dropped, I think, from onto the bench, really, which is quite surprising. But again, looking at the defence, I think John McGlynn maybe said it after the match. I kind of heard that he said that's the defence going forward. But Leon McCann, I think we all said you felt sorry for Leon after having such a great game against Kilmarnock being dropped for Dundee. And then Leon's back into sight, and just how good was, I mean, again, he was in contention for man of the match yesterday, Leon, so it was great to see him coming back into the side. Ethan Williams, I thought, was a bit of a surprise. Again, as I'm a big advocate of Ethan Williams, he should be playing if he's available, he should be playing, but
I think sorry, see with Keelan, he didn't look fit last week. You know what I mean?
aye.
I thought second half he came on it again, but first half it just didn't look up to match fitness, which you'd expect having been out for a few weeks. So I can understand that one. Plus, you have to get Philip Lissa on the team no matter what. So if that meant like moving him over and bringing in Leon, then absolutely.
Yeah,
From the chat after the game, John, I think you we weren't obviously at the press conference after the game, but we spoken to a couple of people that were, and yeah, so John has said that he feels like the defence that was there yesterday, as his current anyway, settled defence. So I fully expect that defence will remain. He maybe feels a bit. I don't know. Listen, there could be reasons why Leon was dropped for one game, and then obviously Keelan's came back in. He was very adamant. Remember the week before we played Dundee that Keelan would come straight back in. I think he said it on either Falkirk TV or somewhere else. But a combination of Keelan maybe not being 100% fit, and then also the form of Leon and Philippe. It's a tough one. It's a really horrible situation for John, I suppose. Well, it's a good situation, but a tough one as well, because he's got all these players that could be playing. But Leon, yesterday, I was so glad he was back in. So glad. And I think I even said at one point, much to my daughter's face yesterday, when I said if I was female, I would have Leon's next baby. And she wasn't very happy when I
That's
said
probably a cue, mate, to
that.
be honest.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Absolutely. It was great as well to see Cole Donaldson back on the bench yesterday after a long-term injury. He got a great ovation when he went away to Gate 20 and the Ken McAllister stand as well when he went off the bench. So it was good to see Cole back on the bench. Interestingly though, I've not seen Sam Hart's not made the bench the last two matches, so that's been very quiet in terms of what's happened there. I mean, it's maybe not, there's just not space on the bench for him, but I'm very
I think
surprised.
we've got defenders coming out our ears, John, haven't we? So
Yeah. As so
where
yeah,
does he
I
go?
guess that might be the case. I did see him post something on Instagram about how 2025 was a bit of a kind of topsy-turvy year, and it's kind of good to talk. So I hope he's all right. I
Oh yeah,
hope
I
he's
hope
all
so.
right. So fingers crossed for Sam Hart. But yeah, I mean, great to see Cole back on the bench. And as you say, Richard, we have got defenders coming out of our ears now. It's with Nielsen's return imminent as well. I mean, we started off the game absolutely flying. That first 20 minutes, that first 5 minutes, you could even say, we were absolutely out the traps. I think, after the Dundee performance, it's just what we needed.
I totally agree. We needed a big performance. I think the fans probably felt we needed a big performance as well. Because let's face it, it's not really just the Dundee game we've got in our mind. We've got the last few weeks where we've not really scored goals. We've not looked like scoring goals. So, like, what a difference that was to come flying out of the traps. And as you said, I think John McGlynn might have said it, or Paul Smith, sorry, after the game, we could have literally been two or three up at half time, and that wouldn't have been a untrue reflection of the game.
I
I mean,
think, sorry, John. I think like in the first 10 seconds, I think Aberdeen got a corner, and I was like, oh, here we go, Aberdeen are going to turn up here. But as soon as we cleared the ball, there was only one team in that first half. You know what I mean? We were brilliant, and like you say, we should have scored a couple of goals.
no, I mean, there's so many chances. Calvin Miller certainly in that first kind of spell of the match was all over it. Free kicks, crosses, hitting shots, and I did think Dylan Tate was excellent, just driving the team forward and just doing. Richard, I know you're Brad Spencer's your boyfriend, but I did think Brad was a bit off it yesterday, and that Dylan was taking the kind of mantle.
Well, I'll take Brad being off it if we win 1-0 every week, to be honest. I thought that Brad, Dylan, and Finn in the midfield completely ran over the top of them. They looked so disjointed. I know they played Armstrong and Ausschich and Carlson in the 10 just ahead, but they were so far apart. Like the gaps were massive, and we were just picking them off at will, winning every second ball. So no, it wasn't Brad's one of Brad's best games, but it was still a 9.8 out of 10 for me.
Always is, Richard. Always is to you. But no, I mean, we ran over the top of them in that first half, Aberdeen, and they were lucky. The only chance really of note was came at the end of the half when Kevin Nisbet went through and just blazed it over the bar. That was the only kind of chance of note. But I think it was 11 shots in that first half that we had on goal. I think what you can tell is though that due to the lack of goals that we have had, it's just some just stuff isn't just falling for us, or we're just not taking the right option sometimes. Because we haven't scored that many goals. But as you say, with Barney back in the side. Ross, you've kind of remarked that he looked like a different player, and he looked like that loan out at Dunfermline has done him the world of good, because he seemed a real focal point.
No, it has. Listen, I said this on social media and I'll happily say it on here as well. I was obviously a very loud voice where I wasn't keen on him. And I don't mean as in not keen on Barney going out on loan, because I was very much up for that. But I think I wasn't a huge fan of him going to Dunfermline.
Yes, Ross,
However,
we had some very
no way,
heated
Ross,
argu-
really?
we had some very heated arguments about this, Ross, both in the pub and on this podcast. So is this you admitting you might have been wrong?
Well, listen, I'm not saying I'm wrong, but I think I'm pleased, very, very, very pleased for Barney and for us, because he has come back. No, listen, he has come back an improved player. And I bumped into Barney's dad, Pete, yesterday as well, and we had a bit of a conversation saying exactly the same. For me, there was two big things I noticed with Barney yesterday that I think he was different to how he was previously with us. One, I thought his hold-up play was really, really good. He was so strong. Whether it was on his chest, his head, his feet, he was controlling that ball. He was playing it off to the runners, so that was brilliant. And then the second thing was, and I noticed this more when Leon was looking for him. So Leon would look up, and you can just see Barney sort of arching his body like a really experienced striker would, just to try. He's almost telling Leon or whoever's making the pass, put it in the channel, put it here, put it there. So I thought he did that really, really well yesterday. And I can't remember who said it yesterday as well, but I totally agree with him. The other thing is, he wasn't. I think Barney of old would maybe just he would knock his pan in, just chasing absolutely everything, whereas he looked far more assured of to what his role is, when he should make a run, when he shouldn't make a run, where to be in the box, that type of thing. So I'm so chuffed for him, and I thought he came on. Like, I know he didn't score, and he mentioned in the lounge after the game that he wanted a goal, but listen, it'll come because he's going to get good service again. Like he got at Dunfermline, he got good service there too. He scored a really good number of goals at Dunfermline. And I think we've won a watch for the fact that he's so high in confidence coming back.
I think you can see he's matured as a footballer. You know, like you say, his hold up play, no offense to him, but it wasn't that when he left us. You know,
No.
it was far improved. Also, John, on the chances we created, you know, I'd be like, it's an old cliche, but I'd be much more worried if we weren't creating
Yeah,
any
well,
chances.
yeah,
Do you know what I mean?
absolutely.
It's crazy the amount of times we get down the side of the box and we don't, like, it's the final
It's
pass
the
or the
final
final
ball,
movement.
it's the final pass, it's the
It's
shot,
somebody's going to take a doing, by the way. So I really believe that a team will take a doing if we play to our maximum, because the amount of chances we create is
yeah. I
unbelievable.
mean, like you say, 11 shots. Aberdeen didn't have, like, in the whole match, Aberdeen did not have a shot in on goal, and I think that's a massive testament to both the midfield and what they were doing, and especially the two centre halves and the full backs.
Yeah.
Like Henderson and Allen were extraordinary yesterday, absolutely brilliant together. What a partnership! You know, young Connor Allen coming at that side as a midfielder, being put in as, you know, a utility centre half, and he is just thriving in that role. And he's been, you know, Henderson's obviously taking his hand through it as well, which is great to see. The other thing at the end of when you're talking about Barney, and that I talked about in a couple of podcasts ago, is the Brian Graham Wilson learning tree, and you can see Brian Graham giving a big hug at the end. And I think that partnership and that, you know, kind of mentor thing that Brian will do will bring Barney on another stage to what he was doing at Dunfermline. Because I'm sure, like, you know, he was playing with Chris Kane at Dunfermline as well. Zach Rudden would have been there and thereabouts as well. So he would have got a bit out of those guys as well. But I do think Brian Graham can take him to that next level as well.
I think as well, talking about Conor Allen, I think the biggest compliment I can pay him yesterday is that you didn't really see him, because he just did everything
Yeah.
perfectly. And you know, it was just you just give the ball, give the ball. Simply, everything was perfect. You know, and it was fantastic. And like you were talking about the fullbacks, they obviously put a lot of emphasis in their wingers. You know, Keskinen, and they played that Bilalovic. We did not apart Keskinen once or twice, but he ran out of ideas. But that Bilalovic, you didn't see him at all in the game, because
Five passes. He hadn't made five passes all match. I saw that
Leon
stat today.
was so good up against them. And it's the case again where the other team completely underestimates Leon. They think he's not good in the
Course.
air. They think he's not fast. They think he's not strong. And Leon is all of those things.
He showed all of that yesterday. His pace was up and down there. There was a moment in the first half when he absolutely destroyed a boy with a tackle brilliant. It was like Sean Mackey-esque. Maybe not so much with the sliding side of it, but he dug in. He used his pace to get back. And so again, some of his crossing is just absolutely superb.
No, absolutely. Let's talk about our other fullback and his goal. Because in that first half, I think we all agreed that we should have been marching in that into half time well in the lead, and we were dominant. And we came out the second half and did the exact same as well. Usually expect, obviously Aberdeen made the change at half time as well, and you think that would kick them on. It didn't. It didn't. We just kept on the throttle, and we got our goal. Leon McCann was fouled. I think it was a young lad from Aberdeen fouled him. It was a foul. There was a couple of question marks over it, but I did. It was a foul. It was a
In
foul.
this day and age, that's a foul every week. Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
Fair play to the ref. I actually thought he had a good game. Beaten. I know the Aberdeen fans will absolutely disagree with that,
The
but
Aberdeen fans were not very happy with John Beaton yesterday. He
no.
was obviously in a good mood after his side won earlier in the afternoon, but
I thought he had a few, well, terrible decisions regarding throw-ins and things. The linesman or assistant referee, sorry, were waiting for him to make a decision, and he made some terrible ones that. I remember, I think it was Barney maybe touched it onto that low bin and he sliced it out of the park. It was clearly a Falkirk ball and he was giving Aberdeen
The
throw-in.
main stand Lionel had a bit of a tough afternoon because there was so many wee, as you said, like there was a bit where Finn Yates literally just ran it out of play, and then he gave us the throw-in. So it was some very questionable. But I thought Beaton did okay,
I
but
thought he did. I thought he did. I thought he did well.
in that moment though, he did well because Leon had actually overhit the cross. And then he got fouled. It's not as if he was it went out the park because he got fouled. The foul came after the cross,
I think you could
and
argue though that he puts it out of the play because he's waiting for
he
that
can feel it
contact.
coming. He's cut.
So,
He knows he's coming probably as
yeah.
well. Yeah.
I mean, it was though. It was a foul, and they talked to, I think, John McGlynn, and said they wanted more goals from set plays, and they got one as well. You've seen, I mean, Aberdeen's marking was absolutely dreadful. There was about four or five Falkirk players that could have headed it in, but great run from Lisa, and gets his first senior goal. A great moment for him as well after putting in such a magnificent performance as well. Well deserved of the goal and a great header.
It was huge, huge moment. At the time, I don't think I appreciated the timing of his run and everything. You know what it's like in the moment, you just thought, oh, it's a header, it's a goal. There we go. But when you watch it back, the timing of his run's perfect. The cross is inch perfect as well. Obviously, Aberdeen were doing the old zonal marking, and Philip just decided to stand and run into an area where they weren't even bothered about. So it was a
Right in the middle of
fantastic.
the
Why bother?
I think you could tell we'd definitely worked on that set piece though, because, and this is back to John's level of detail, we completely changed the way we took corners in the first half. Everybody was at the back post, ran to the front post, and that's not something we've really been doing. And
It's
then you could
usually
see that,
the back to Henderson, and the back post is our kind of standard, isn't it?
and because he knew they were zonal marking, we were doing something a bit different, which was great to see. And then, I mean, I think I could have scored that, to be honest, it's about 6 yards
I
out.
don't know about that, Richard. I don't know about that. But and later on in the match, let's just talk about Lisa's tackle when it was Armstrong went through, and Lisa comes out from absolutely nowhere and just nicks the ball off of it. It was an incredible. And further on in the match where he had that big tackle, Sean Mackey. Everyone talks about the Sean Mackey tackle against Hibs. Lisa did one as well against Aberdeen. It was brilliant.
I think it was the defensive stuff that probably got him the man of the match. Because
Yeah.
I don't get me wrong, if he'd scored like it was a wonderful goal, and I think if that's all he'd done, he probably might have still got the man of the match. But I think Leon was getting all the praise for how he had performed. But the two big moments defensively, Lissa was just all over it. And as you said, John, it's almost as good as a goal, that type of last minute tackle, or especially the one that was in the 6 yard box.
I thought that was the first time Stuart Armstrong actually went forward, to be honest. I was like, he was in the box that often. So, and he thought he had that. He thought he was just tapping that in, and Lissa comes from nowhere. It was a brilliant tackle. And also the thing I love about Lissa is though, right after he scored the goal, he had a shot like a couple of minutes later, so he's still getting forward. He's on the edge of the box and he's still so good defensively, that tackle on Keskinen and to down the wing to put it out. I think I think that looked like it hurt because I think he was probably about to cramp up at that point, but he was brilliant.
A lot of players left it out there yesterday. Barney, I noticed, was cramping up as well at one point. Listen, I'm not surprised because they put in such effort as well. And we've not really talked about the kind of the wingers. Kyle, I thought again was in and about it yesterday. Some brilliance going to come. He has some brilliant moments, Kyle. There was that moment down just in front of the main stand on the right where he did this little beautiful flick. And if he went inside, and if he scores from that, it was like goal of the season. It was unbelievable stuff.
Oh.
But
I don't.
there's going to be some special coming from Kyle. I've got a feeling.
I don't know if I don't know if Aberdeen have got some injuries on that left side, but to play Graham Shinney against like probably the fastest player in the league was mental. I did not understand that, and I thought Shinney did okay, but still, Kyle, some of the things he did were great.
I
I
thought it
did
was very
one.
strange playing Shinny at left back. I
That's what
thought,
I'm saying.
yeah,
It
why
was a
would you
weird
not
one.
play
Maybe they
Shinny
don't have another
midfield?
option. I don't
I
know.
guess so. They must.
He had the one where he cut inside in the first half, didn't he? And it was straight at Mitov.
Yeah.
And then the wee touch in the corner, and then he tries. I think he tried to beat everybody else after that, but you're just a wee bit unlucky. I think Tate has the shot over just as it comes to the
Yeah.
edge of the box. So yeah, another chance, another
There was a
chance.
lot of chances. I mean, that big, we're going back to start match and that kind of big scramble where we could have been 1-0 up in within 5 minutes as well. Henry Cartwright comes off the bench as well as Ethan Ross as well. Brian Graham obviously on as well. And they made a difference. The subs again, I don't think they were great at Dundee, but I thought the subs all had their part to play in the kind of the remainder of the match as well.
I thought so. Yep. If you're talking about, obviously, Ethan came on for Finn, just gave us that little bit of, you know what Ethan's like. He's very, very good at driving at the defence, and he did that for the 30 minutes that he was on. Alfie, I thought, had a much bigger impact this time. He was obviously screaming at Brian Graham to pass it late on, but Brian was never gonna
There's
never
no
gonna
chance
pass.
Brian was
There's
ever
no chance for him.
passing that. He looked up and went to Alfie, said, "Fuck that, I'm just gonna just try and rattle this myself." And rattled
I
it
thought
over.
I was a wee bit surprised to see Ethan come on in the 10. I thought maybe Calvin would have came
Yeah,
inside and taken
that
him
was interesting,
on
but
a
I think
wing.
Calvin was given their right back a
I
torrid
know.
time, giving that boy Loban an absolute torrid time. So
Was Logan still on at that time? I don't know. I
I
couldn't
don't
remember
know.
if they'd replaced for
Yeah,
Devlin.
I don't know if he had or not, but like he was doing so well out in that left throughout the match.
Also, Cartwright is brilliant at reading. See that ball goes in field for the one where he hit the post.
Aye.
He reads that so early, and he's on top of the boy so early. The boy's not got a second to set himself, and it was a great strike. Actually, I was right behind it, so actually, I wasn't sure if Mitov got a wee tiny fingertip
Touched
to
it.
it, but you can't really see it in the highlights, so I can't really remember. But I thought he did at the time, but it was so unlucky.
I thought it was going to be an absolute copycat of the Rangers goal though, because the way he played it and the way he ran into that midfield, I thought just hit it at the top bin again. But he's just went for the placement that time, and he was unlucky with the chance. But yeah, I mean, and then we had Brian's chance as well. I think that as well, it came down to the fact that Brian had an earlier chance when Alfie probably should have hit it, and he kind of laid it off to Brian, and Brian's like, "Ah, what are you doing?" kind of thing, and he hit.
Brian tried to take the paint off it. I don't know. He's just absolutely smashed it as hard as he could.
I know.
But fair enough.
I know. But listen, everyone had their part to play yesterday, and we now own Aberdeen. So 2 wins out of two against the Dons. And as a result of that, another manager gone, Jimmy Thielen,
Falkirk
sacked
curse.
today. The Falkirk curse. You can see in my background before, so that's Russell Martin, Jimmy Thielen, and now will it be Wilfried Nancy next? That is the question, because.
I think he might be gone by the time
I
you
think,
play
yeah, I'll be
him.
honest with you, I think, which is shit for us, because that probably means to bring Martin O'Neill back
know. That
against
means
us.
we're going to have, if he does go, we're going to have played Celtic under Martin O'Neill. They're going to have had a full new manager, and then we're going to have played them under Martin O'Neill
It's
again.
mental, absolutely mental. I mean, it's been a mad season. Like, when you look at Scottish football this season and go how mental it is, the fact that, Rangers are now back in championship contention, really. They're still 6 points away from Hearts, but then you go, Jesus Christ, who would have thought that when he visited the Falkirk Stadium and Russell Martin was shepherded out by the police?
I think it has been a mental season. I think also I think we've everybody said we've added to that. Do you know what I mean? Like we're
Yeah.
not just a club coming up just to fight at the bottom. We've definitely shown that we're well worthy of being there.
Yeah, and
And
then you've
then
got Motherwell as well, obviously, as well. Hibs
Motherwell been
doing well.
fantastic, yeah. But this is a question, John, that was kicking around the pub, and I know you're Mr. Negative, but I want to ask you.
I know
So
you're going to ask.
the chat yesterday was that win enough to keep us up?
I don't. I think it's enough to get us. I think when you look at what Livingston have got to do, you know, we're 18 points ahead of Livingston now. They've got to win six matches, like more than us. You know what I mean? And I think when you look at that and you look at that kind of stat and go, I don't think that, I don't think at this point that's doable when you look at previous stats and statisticians. So, you know, I do think, you know, like Kilmarnock, it depends on who they get in as manager, depends what they do in the window. Ask me again at the end of January. But you know, it's
I just think
hard.
we need to be looking up now, you know. We're clearly good enough to be here, and we showed yesterday that against a team who's just spent £3 million in the last 18 months, that you know we should be here. So I feel like we should be
100%.
looking
I
up now.
think that goes without saying that we, you know, we've
Please
proved.
don't bookmark that.
I don't quit that, but it does prove, like, to the detractors. You know, I saw there was an Aberdeen fan who'd posted, and I think everyone's jumped on this tweet now, who posted when, like, the team against Dundee United saying that team will never do anything in this league or something.
Championship bound.
Yeah, some to those words, and then you go, well, look at us now. We own you. So that's
See, I was looking at the table last night. I think I don't know what order the top six will obviously be in, but that for me is the top six now.
with us, isn't it?
We'll be finishing in the top
Right,
six.
us in
Jesus
fifth, John.
Christ, fuck's sake.
Listen, there's not a lot in it. There is not a lot in it.
Listen, there's not a lot in it, but Aberdeen will not be that. But like the squad of players they've got at their disposal is
But
mental.
we said that in August when we beat them, and they're that. I think I was looking at the fixtures as well. We've obviously got far more home games left than we do away, which is good. We have a game in hand. Listen, I'm not saying we're going to go and finish third or fourth, but I'm saying I think we will drive on and be that probably the sixth position. But I think that's where we will finish.
I'll still be very happy with 10th. I will still be delighted with 10th. Absolutely.
Even now, after the
Yeah,
start you've made, though,
yes, of course. Of course, I
I
would be.
think expectations have changed. They
No,
have
but
to
you see,
change.
now this is the problem. Your expectations can't change because that's when everyone starts getting, if there's a couple of bad results, that's when people start murmuring and rustling their sweetie papers in the main stand and all that
But
sort of stuff.
we've had a couple of bad results, and
Everyone
there's
has
no
got to have
change.
in their head 10th. Everyone. Right, and
I think, John, I think we've had this discussion before, but we've said this team is built differently. We have had bad results, you know, and we haven't just folded the next
no,
week,
we've not,
you know. So
but it could
we
have,
yeah.
it could
It could
happen.
happen. Of course, anything could happen, you know,
Yeah,
the way
but
the top of the league's going, we could catch Hearts. We
I mean,
could,
you've
but you
got
know what I mean?
the two teams
What?
below us just now are the two City teams. So you've got
Yeah.
Aberdeen and Dundee United, right? Okay, then you start looking, right? Well, so Dundee have started putting together a run now as well. You know, that's 3 wins out of 3 for Dundee. Kilmarnock and Livingston look dreadful at the moment, and let's see what happens, A, for Livingston and what they, you know, go and spend, because they've obviously started moving in the transfer window, and who goes in at Kilmarnock. That'll be very interesting, because I do think, you know, we're a better footballing side than both of those as well. But, you know, there are two big City teams, three big City
Yeah.
teams below us as well, who have money to spend. So I think come the end of January, you start thinking, but I always think, let's just 10th, see when the expectations getting high, and then everyone starts going, oh, well, we're not in the top six, and then people start getting
I
angsty.
listen. You and I have talked about this before. I for weeks and months I've said the same. 10th is where is what we hope, like what we
Absolutely.
should be trying to get out of, right? However, I think there comes a point in the season, and we're probably getting close to that point where, as Richard said, we need to not be oblivious to the fact that we are closer to the teams above us than we are to the teams below us, as in Kilmarnock and Livingston, more so than anyone else. But I think we need to just, as you said, John, we've said it before, one game at a time, but we are building momentum. We have had the odd knock, but it doesn't seem to
I think
knock us really too badly. It doesn't.
I think we're also a very appealing team to join for a lot of good footballers now. You know, if we were fighting down the bottom there, and we got 10th, that would be amazing. But then club players who'll take us to the next level might say, well, maybe not. You know, whereas they can see what John's doing, John and Paul are doing. You can see what we're trying to do. We play good football. And if we got that top six, the options for next year to go and like stay there or even do even better. Because why shouldn't we do better? You know, we're as big as some of the other clubs there.
Ah,
So
100%.
I just feel like, yeah, stay up, absolutely. That is the priority. But also, we should just dream a wee bit.
Well, it's
Look at Mother,
look at Motherwell. Motherwell are a prime example of to what we could achieve. St Mirren previously as well, maybe not so much this season, but previously in the league anyway.
But
So
the thing is, Ross, they're established,
they are, of course, they are. Yep.
Premier League club, and
But
that's
that's what
what
we
we
need
that's
to
what
kind of
exactly. So
push ourselves
10th,
to.
then 8th, then 6th, and then
Wow, life's
4th,
too
and
short
then
for that.
winning the league.
Six,
Oh, for
five,
God's
four,
sake,
three.
God
John,
almighty.
it could be worse. We could be sixth in League One.
Well,
Absolutely.
like you look back, however many years ago, someone put up a graphic that this is we were sixth in League One this time about fucking 5 years ago or whatever it was, and it's just like, I mean, it's just mental. It's just mental. But what a great place to be! And as I say, 10th, be happy with 10th, boys. Don't go start getting excited and getting on people's backs if we're not finishing 10th. That's all I'll say.
You not booked
What?
your European trip yet?
Oh, for God's sake, right. Okay, let's hear what it's Paul that turned up yesterday, not John. So let's hear what Paul had to say after the match.
Paul, a really impressive performance today, and what a way to kick off 2026.
Yeah, fantastic 3 points. Felt the performance, as you say, was really up there. You know, the Kilmarnock game at home and probably Dundee United away, that was as good as the two games there. And thoroughly deserved to win the game. Disappointed coming in at half time because I thought we were in complete control first half. And as I say, the only disappointment was not coming in one or two up at half time.
A few changes to the team sheet today. Obviously, Barney Stewart starting after coming back from loan. How do you think he did?
I thought the whole team did really well, but yeah, Barney gives us something a wee bit different up top. He's obviously got the pace to run in behind, and I think the Aberdeen back two found him a real handful. So delighted that he's back. We've been icing on the cake if he's got a wee goal, but really pleased with his performance.
The goal did come from a more unlikely source, Philip Lissa getting the goal. He's been incredible all season, and probably it's one that's been coming.
Yeah, we were speaking to the players last week. We were a wee bit disappointed we've not been scoring more goals off set plays. So we certainly worked on them this week, but I wouldn't say that was one of the ones we worked on. But a great header from Phil. Delighted for him to go and get a goal there. I thought his overall performance was fantastic, and he had a great challenge in the box. I'm not sure if it was Armstrong 6 yards out, but he's got a cross in the second half and managed to stop them possibly scoring from there.
You mentioned Stuart Armstrong there. Just a number of some big players at Aberdeen have that can cause a threat. Jesper Karlsson, Topi Kekkonen. I think the team did really well to nullify them today.
Yeah, as I said earlier, I thought the performance first half was right up there, and yeah, Aberdeen have got players that can hurt you, and we limited them to very few chances. I think they had 7 shots. I don't think they had one shot on target. They possibly hit the post there at the end, but no, really limited them to very few chances. And on the flip side, there at the end of the game, Brian Graham might have got a second goal for us. And we hit the post with Henry Cartwright shot as well. So, it's just, as I say, would have been even more pleasing to go and get that second goal and make the last 5 minutes just that wee bit easier.
It did feel like a 2-0 game. It did feel like a 2-0 game. We just didn't get it. I mean, Scott Bain, as Paul sort of said there, didn't have anything to do. I mean, apart from that Nesbitt header, which I don't know if he got a touch to it or if it just went round the post, kind of clipped it and went round the post, but Scott Bain had zero to do. Though again, we've not mentioned Scott Bain. Again, I've just talked about his distribution all day long because it's absolutely brilliant. He had one dodgy ball and that's been about it, but it was great
I
in his
thought
hand.
it did feel like a 2-0 game, although even at 1-0, I didn't feel overly concerned because the defence has been so good.
Yeah.
Well, Dundee apart, so I was like, even though
Five
we're
clean sheets. Is it five clean sheets and
5
8?
and
I
eight,
think.
is it? I think, or
Yeah.
something like that. Yeah, so I thought I never felt in danger at any point, which is a strange feeling against a big team like Aberdeen.
No, absolutely. Well, see what you guys had to say about the match. Stevie Beveridge, one and only Smudger, kicks us off saying, Bairnley Army, that might be the best performance of the season. Everyone was a 7 or 10 or higher. I reckon we're 8 points away from safety now. There you go. Stevie says we're 8 points away from safety. We'll go with Stevie's assessment.
Good idea. Neil Cox, Coxey says, still a couple of games to get out of the way first, but the three home games in February are a massive opportunity to get another 9 points on the board as well.
Alan says, so much intensity in that performance, still to find our goal scoring touch, but what a performance. Lisa, man of the match, but so proud of Barney. His energy will give him plenty of starts, and he was unlucky with that little flick that didn't lead to a goal. That was from Miller, wasn't it, on the left?
Yeah,
He was
very
got in front
early
of his
on.
defender, yeah.
What a second debut that would have been for him.
Yeah,
That
absolutely.
would have been phenomenal. Karen Taylor, who we were just talking about earlier on, Lissa was unbelievable today. I think only one boy got past him all day. Deserved his man of the match.
Yeah, absolutely. Brendan really saw performance and a well-deserved win. Our lack of clinical finishing continues, however, to make games way more stressful than they should be. Yes, agreed. But Aberdeen offered no real threat. No bad performances, but extra gold stars for Leon, Lisa, and Alan.
David Robertson, who Burns fans may remember from his 1F days as Savage Cabbage, he says, all round tremendous performance. Shouts out to McCann, Tate, Alan, and Lissa. Good to see Barney back, who added much needed energy to the attack. Aberdeen were extremely poor. Tough few matches to come, and this is a valuable 3 points.
Yeah, absolutely. Bony Unks. Barney says looked a different. He says Barney looked a different player. Very strong hold up and link up play. Also stretched them running in behind. Was great to see BBG give Barney the big hug at full time. At the other end, we defended for our lives with great last minute body on the line blocks. Lisa, outstanding.
And finally, this is from Dougie Manson, who says, after today, can we finally get John McAnally to admit we are safe from any kind of relegation fight? 18 ahead of Livy, 14 ahead of Kilmarnock is surely a big enough gap.
Not till we get 8 more points. Like, I'm going with Stevie's, I'm going with Smudger's maths on this one. Or we get to John McGlynn says he wants 40. We're 13 points off that now. So, but yeah, we're almost there. We're almost there. I'd like to say it, but we're almost there. Falkirk Daft rated a lot of contenders in that team. But who are you giving it to, Ross?
I'm torn between Leon and Philippe, but I'm gonna go Philippe. I'm gonna agree with the man of the match performance.
Yeah, Richard.
I'm gonna go for Brad Spence. I'm only joking. I'm going for Phil, big Philippe Lissa. I'm going for him. He was magnificent. I think he did everything on Saturday. So yeah,
Yeah,
wonderful
were
player.
you surprised that Brad didn't get taken off and they took Tate off instead of Brad? I thought that was a
You
strange
can't
one.
take Brad off. I
All
think
right,
Brad only.
sorry. Because I was just like saying, I don't think he had a great game yesterday. He was on a yellow card, and I was just
Aye, I
like,
think he got taken off at Dundee because he was on yellow, wasn't he? And the ref looked like he would definitely wanted to send him off after he got the decision wrong. Do send him off. So I can understand why he got took off last week, sorry. But no, you don't take Brad off.
Right,
No.
you don't
I
take him.
think the other issue with last week was, remember, the Dundee game was the 19th game, so any bookings
Okay.
accrued would still have counted, whereas they've all got a clean slate now. I didn't think Brad had a bad game yesterday. I saw there was a couple of people behind us who were saying, oh, Brad should have came off instead of Dylan. I thought Brad, like, I can't remember, Richard, who you said it was about earlier on, but I just felt he had a Conor Allen, I think you said this about, but I think sometimes when Brad's just having a Brad game, you don't really notice what he does because he does everything, like he's wee passes and he links the play. I just think he did that yesterday.
I think people are saying he had a poor game because there was one moment in the game where he had the opportunity to maybe pass it
And he
twice and
lost the ball.
he got caught in the ball, but that was once. Do you know what I
I
mean?
can't
And
think of
also,
anything else though.
no, and people saying take Brad off instead of Tate, they're completely different footballers. Like they work together. You don't. I don't think Tate can play in Brad's
It's
role.
okay, Brad. What's this, Richard? Did he get, I know
I'm
you're getting
just.
a bit angsty there. Okay, it's all right. It's okay. It's okay. It was just an opinion. Just
I'm just confirming the FOTMOB 7.8 that they gave him. So there we go.
an opinion. Aye, so Philippe.
Die.
Philippe for rated, yeah.
I think so. I think so. I think Leon was great as well, but I just think Philippe with his goal just gives him that nod and first senior goal in football. A Dafty, I honestly I can't think of any Dafty, but I'm willing for options. Have you got any Dafty nominations?
I've got one.
Go on,
Oh.
Richard.
This week it goes to Sheepy.
There
Enjoy your weekend, Sheepy.
you go. Colin Finlayson has been on this. I was like, I don't know, for some reason I know a hell of a lot of Aberdeen supporters. Everyone I know all the football teams, I know more Aberdeen supporters than any other team, so I was just like tagging them all on an Instagram post saying we own you now.
On the other hand, if he has any spare Scotland tickets for the summer, then he's my Falkirk Daft rated.
Right, so, okay. I'm sure Sheepy won't be listening to this, but someone can pass it on to him. Colin Finlayson, you are the Falkirk Dafty for no other reason than you're an Aberdeen supporter, fabulous. He was in hospitality yesterday as well, so that would have made it even more sweeter. Right, okay. That is it for Falkirk Daft rated Falkirk Dafty. But before we go, and before we let you go, Richard, let's do Falkirk Daft versus.
Yes, we do.
But don't worry, you're not up against me this week. I'm doing the questions.
Oh God, that's right.
So you have to go up against Ross.
I'm gonna have to channel my inner Lewis Connolly here, which.
That's never a good thing to channel. Right, but I'm going to have to check the records and see who's lost more games, me or you, Ross. We're going to have to go back and check that. I'm pretty sure it'll be pretty much even Stevens.
It could be. We've won a lot, though. We do.
We tend to do okay.
I wouldn't worry about it this week.
We tend to do okay. Right,
just
okay.
Just a quash a rumour, though, like in case someone does it. We don't share with you. Like, I think you and I, we want each other sometimes to lose.
Ah, of course we do.
We don't share the questions with each other.
Oh,
just to quash that. If
yeah, right. I 100% always want Ross to lose. I always want the listener to win. By the way, and shout out to everyone who got in touch with us. Josh Heggie included. We're talking about Italian players that played for Falkirk last week. Rafael De Vita, we missed him off the list last week, so thanks to everyone who got in touch about that as well. Right, okay, so I've got you five questions in front of me here, boys. Richard, I'll ask you for a vocal answer. Ross, write down your answer. And your first question is, Caelan McCrone is currently on loan at which side?
Fuck's sake. This is a complete punt.
Punt. Is what it's all about. Richard, you got an idea about this?
No idea, but I'll see a team.
Right, okay, Ross, what are you writing down there? Show your answer.
I don't know if you can see it, but I write Cowdenbeath.
Richard?
Bonnie Rigrose,
both wrong. Berwick Rangers. Rowan Leagues on loan to there. Right, okay, now question number two. Before Philippe Lisa, who was the last player to break the goal-scoring duck? Before Lisa, who was the last player to break their goal scoring duck for Falkirk?
This season.
Ross is writing to something down.
I am, but I'm thinking, I don't know if it's right or not.
You got an answer down?
I have, yes.
Richard?
I'm going to go Conor Allen.
Conor Allen. Ross,
I've said the same thing. Yep, Conor Allen.
One game out, it was Ethan Williams against Kilmarnock. There you go.
I was going Kyrell against Aberdeen for the longest time.
Yeah. It was Ethan Williams against Kilmarnock, who was the last player out with Lisa to break us up. Right, okay, it's a who am I question now. You like this one. Right, okay, who am I? I started my career at Liverpool and arrived at Falkirk, making over 70 appearances before a spell down south. On returning to Scotland, I won the championship with St Mirren. Who am I? I started my career at Liverpool and arrived at Falkirk, making over 70 appearances before a spell down south. On returning to Scotland, I won the championship with St Mirren. Who am I?
It was called the championship at this time.
Well, first, yes, it would have been the championship at this time, yeah.
Christ.
For Liverpool.
Still playing. I'll give you a quote.
Yeah. Oh, Christ,
right.
I think I know. Write it down, Ross. Can't remember his surname. Oh, no, I've got it. Got it.
Right, okay. Richard, no idea?
Not a clue. I'll go Rory Loy.
Rory Loy. Ross, what are you writing down?
I was thinking you were going quite far back.
That's what I was thinking.
But I think it's someone more recent, so I've went Tony Gallagher.
That's what I was going to say, Tony Gallagher.
Wrong, both wrong.
Hmm. I didn't think he played 70 times for Liverpool.
No, he didn't play 75. So he made 70 appearances for Falkirk.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm totally. That's why I was thinking it was years ago, years and years ago.
Ryan Flynn.
Ryan Flynn. I misunderstood the question.
Still playing for Arbroath. I think he's 37 now. Right, okay. Still
high scoring game, this one, isn't it?
This is going well. how many goals did Barney get for Dunfermline?
All in.
Yeah.
I have an answer.
This is all competitions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, writing some down, Ross.
Yeah.
Richard.
I think it was 8.
Ross.
I've said 8.
Both correct. There you go. It was 8 goals in 12 games for Dunfermline. There you go. Right, okay. All comes down to this question. Sudden death. What was the only Scottish League team that John McGlynn played for? What was the only Scottish League team that John McGlynn played for? And I'm talking in league as in the top four leagues. Ross has written down an answer.
I am, but I don't think I'm right.
Right, you got some down. Richard? Yeah.
East Fife.
East Fife. Ross?
It's wrong, but I've said Hearts.
It is wrong. And for the second time, it's Berwick Rangers. There you go. There you go. Oh, that would have been a win as well for you. So basically, it's 1-1 after 5 questions, and we're going to a closest 2 question, right? Okay, Ross.
How am I still in this?
Well, you're doing well, Richard. Here we go. Right, and your question is this: how many Scotland caps did Alex Parker get? Obviously, leading appearance cap holder for Falkirk, but how many did he get overall? Not just for Falkirk as well, I'll state that.
As in, all right, so not when he was playing with Falkirk, but in total.
Just in total. In total, he obviously got, I think he got, well, I won't say the number of caps he got for Falkirk, but yeah. Right, some down, Ross.
I am.
Richard, I'm going to ask you for your answer now. Ross has got something written down.
I have.
16.
16, Ross.
I've written for 13.
13 says Ross, 16 says Richard. One is only one out, so we're going to have a winner. If someone had went 14, it'd have been right in the middle. But well done to Richard, who went 16, and it's 15 caps that Alex Parker got for Scotland, and it's a win for Richard. There you go.
How lucky was that?
Well played, Richard. A dirty, ugly game, but
I was I was the Aberdeen equivalent of Falkirk versus there.
Super, brilliant, brilliant. Listen, Richard, thank you so much for joining us on this week's edition of Falkirk Daft. Really, really appreciate that. And if you want to be a guest pundit, get in touch with us. We could have you on the show another time. That'd be great to hear from you. Cheers, Richard.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
And that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Good to talk about the Aberdeen game there with Richard. But before we go, obviously, got to say thanks very much to the Falkirk football fans in training. T8's back on Wednesday, 8:30 to 9:30. It's a new year, which means it could be a new you. Sort out your mental health, get fit with the T8's, get down to the stadium. They've got several sections, they've got over 50 sections as well. So whatever level of football you fancy playing at, if you just fancy a kick about, they'll have you. They'll love to have you down there. And like I say, great bunch of guys. Speak to Ian, Willie, or Dougie. The links are below, and you'll have a great time. And like I say, why not make it your New Year's resolution to get fit, help your mental health, and get down to the Falkirk Stadium and get involved with the T8s. And it's always great, isn't it? Kicking, you know, when you're kicking about on the pitch. We might not be able to do that for longer if we have to replace the turf. So why not get
That's
down?
True,
you can have a kickabout on the pitch, you know, and it's just brilliant playing in front of the stand and just thinking, I am a Falkirk player, and pretend to be Calvin Miller or Liam Henderson or whoever you want to be.
Brilliant.
But get down, join the T8s every Wednesday at Stadium, 8:30 to 9:30. And that is it for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for watching. Thanks very much for listening. Of course, we're on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Follow us on our socials as well, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Just type in Falkirk Daft, follow us. Get on the Discord chat, by the way. Oh, honestly, children in there. Honestly, I've had to ban people just being naughty children. I've had to ban, kick people, ban people, just for language and calling out each other. But it's good fun. It's good fun. It's a good laugh. Get on the Discord channel if you're listening. It's like, if you don't know what Discord is, it's like 1F pretty much, but it's like an app, and you can talk to other supporters on there as well. So it's good fun on there. So get on that. The links are below, and there's merch links there as well. Did anyone get any Falkirk Daft merch for Christmas? I think we had like one order. And we really need to up our game on the merch sales. By the way, shout out to the Falkirk Supporter Society as well. They've got their own merch now out as well. So you can get Falkirk Supporter Society merch modelled by the beautiful James Miller. I did see pictures of James modelling the Falkirk Supporter Society gear. So jump on the socials. All the links are on the Falkirk Supporter Society socials. And you can get some Falkirk Supporter Society clobber now as well. So you can be totally over it. You can have your Falkirk Daft cap, and you could have a Falkirk Supporter Society hoodie. There you go. Smashing stuff. So get on that now. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Anything to add before we go, Ross, today? Anything you would like to get off your chest? I've obviously got my car woes off my chest. Is there anything you would like to get off your chest?
No, I don't think so. It's a new year, isn't it? So we've got loads to look forward to. It's been a fantastic couple of years as a Falkirk fan, and I have a funny feeling that 2026 is going to be another brilliant one for us as well.
Well, let's hope so. 10th, remember, 10th place is the key. And for those listening, Ross just made a funny face and just shook his head. Right, thank you very much. Brilliant. Listen, until next time on Falkirk Daft,
expect unexpected, buddy. Money bells.
We'll be back Thursday with the St Mirren preview. Cheers.
We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. Talking about the dark blues and having a bit of a laugh. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. You can listen in the pub or you can listen in the bath. We're Falkirk Daft. We're Falkirk Daft. For everyone who's kidding about being a Falkirk bear, we're Falkirk Daft. We are Falkirk Daft.